First Baptist Church of Redmond, June 23rd, 2013. He will glorify me.
However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whenever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Thank you very much. I ask you to take your seats again as we look at these words about the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me. When I grew up, one of the things I remember most about my mom is my mom enjoyed cooking. And she was a good cook. She made a lot of good things for us, and she made good dessert. And the only thing that's really survived that we practice very much of is fudge. We talked about before, my mom took a fudge recipe, made a change in it, and boy, it was good. It was like money when I was younger. If I took people fudge, I would get things from it. People would do me favors. People would ask me, Dad, Doug, could you get your mom to give us a couple of pounds of fudge? When I was in the hospital for 10 days and didn't get out of the hospital and feel good, what did we do? Mom made a box of fudge for the nurses on the floor. My boss at work, Doug, and your mom make for him with mince pie. And your mom makes mince pie. And I knew that he wanted two mince pies. Because what he did is my boss enjoyed the pleasures of food as well. So he would get two pies from my mom, and he would take one pie home, and the other pie he put in his desk in the office. And that pie never lasted more than 2 days, so you can make your analogies from there. But he enjoyed those kinds of things. That was the influence, that was the result. Because, just thought, and then my wife and I over time have learned to make a fudge, and said, "Could have you made it before? And many of you guys have felt making fudge before and eating fudge." So that fudge recipe has, not had much change other than you put nuts in this one or not. You just follow the recipe and wow, it's good. It's yummy. Since Barbara makes it, and you can just keep calling it Mrs. Johnston's fudge. Because if my mom or Barbara, it's Mrs. Johnston's fudge. How about that? Sticking with the recipe is taking care of it. We talk about the things that the Holy Spirit does. If you remember, we talked about Jesus announcing His coming. What is He going to do? We're going to be looking at John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And as we look at these verses, we're seeing how God is seeking to work in the world around us. We've looked in previous weeks, the last part of chapter 15 and the first part of chapter 16, that Jesus has come to carry out His Father's wishes. And that as Jesus is leaving His followers, He's sending another comforter to them, another helper. And the helper, the one who's going to be with them forever, even after Jesus is gone, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come, just as Jesus glorifies the Father, holds up to show that His plan is correct. The Holy Spirit comes among us to show that Jesus, what He has done, what He is doing, is correct. His words are true. His life is valuable for us. And if the Holy Spirit comes to us, He has a dramatic impact. Without the Holy Spirit, that evidence is a little small, so I'm going to read it for you. Without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is a good letter. The church is an organization. The Lord is a matter of domination. Mission is just propaganda. Liturgy is nostalgia, a reminder of the past. And Christian living is a slave morality. See, the criticisms we get if we try to live the Christian life without Christ. With the Holy Spirit, God is with us. The universe has a chance to be resurrected. The groans of the birth pangs of the kingdom of the risen Christ is here. The gospel is a living force. The church is a communion in the life of the Trinity. The body of the living Christ. Authority is service that sets people free. This is based on Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And who naturally is God at work in the world? If you take a look there in your Bible, John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus begins by saying, "I still have many things to say." If you remember these chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and what we're going to see in 17, Is Jesus spending time with the disciples in connection with the institution of the Lord's Supper, their Passover meal? And then, after Judas leaves, he speaks to them as they are together as they're traveling. So these chapters take place over perhaps just an hour, 2 hours. They've not gone yet to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray when Jesus is going to be arrested. So this conversation where Jesus is speaking to his disciples takes place over a relatively brief period of time. And as Jesus has been talking to them, he has been telling them some very significant, some very heavy things. They've talked about their interests. They've talked about their concerns. They were concerned about themselves. They should have been more concerned about Jesus. We talked about them less in the first part of our 16th chapter. But Jesus knew that they had heard many things, that he was going to leave them. It was good if he left them, but he was still going to leave them. They had some understanding that there was something happening in the Judas, but just how it was going to play out, that they weren't sure. Jesus was telling them that there was going to be someone else who would be coming to them, and they weren't understanding how all these things work together. And Jesus said, there are many, many more things I need to tell you, I'd like to tell you, but right now is not the time. You look in your Bibles and see that there were occasions when Jesus met with the disciples after his resurrection. There were times when he gave them counsel. There were times when the Holy Spirit would show them some things. But yet, there comes a time when you're stressed and you're tired that you're just not able to process anymore. You're not hearing anymore. And Jesus, he did not rebuke them. He told them that they would hear more things from him later. And then it goes in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Jesus is introducing to them the permanent, the enduring ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I need to mention, people so often think, the Spirit? What did the Holy Spirit do before this? What did the Holy Spirit do in the Old Testament? What did the Holy Spirit do before the beginning of the church? Well, the things that are true today are true, were true still in the past. It's just that we have a clearer, greater understanding and actually a greater opportunity of receiving benefits from the Holy Spirit now. See, if you're going to get to heaven, you have to be somebody who trusts God, who believes what God has said. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. But naturally, we people don't listen, we don't seek, we don't pursue God's message. Redemption, regeneration, conversion, all those words are the work of the Holy Spirit. People got saved before the beginning of the church, still by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerated and changed people. The Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament to do special activities with God's strength. The difference is, before Pentecost, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a believer, in an individual who trusted God, was a new idea that he would come and continue to live in you. Because the Holy Spirit might leave you. He would not be aware of his presence. He would not be speaking, guiding, and counseling and the things that Jesus is talking about now. Essentially because of our sin. Remember David, when he sinned, one of his sins said, please take not your Holy Spirit from me. David was aware that God had a special influence in his life. That influence could be affected by sin. Today, our relationship with God is influenced and affected by our sin. But the Holy Spirit, who does not leave us, remember, because Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says that the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a result, a byproduct of our salvation. He's the down payment of our salvation, a guarantee, if you will, that God's going to redeem us and take us to heaven. But in those previous days, if you sinned, God's influence might leave, because today, now these days, he's a person. He's called he in our passage. We'll talk about that in a second. He is grieved. He's emotionally sad. When you watch, it's just like you as a parent or as a friend. If you see your friend make a mistake, something that you know that shouldn't have done, something that would be shameful, you feel bad for them. You encourage them not to do it. You told them to change. You told them they should stop that. But you're still their acquaintance. You're still their friend. So the Holy Spirit now doesn't leave us, but He is not happy. He is sad when we make mistakes. The Holy Spirit, who is coming to us, some of our friends, I think, misunderstand Him and think that the Holy Spirit is an influence. Folks that meet not very far from us will say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, that it's just a way to discuss the influence. In our New Testament, you know, the word for Spirit doesn't have a gender. What does that mean? In the Greek language, things are male, things are female, or sometimes things are just described without a gender. And the Holy Spirit, the word for Spirit, is a genderless word. That's why one of the reasons why some people will say He is not a person, He is just a general influence in the world. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. He is spoken of in the Bible as a person, as an individual who has emotions, who has volition, who obeys, who follows, who guides. It's clear that He is presented as a person because that's why we have the word He in our Bible. In other words, here in our Bible, bad grammar in the original language is for a purpose. Our people who wrote the Bible, sometimes when people would watch them say, who are these people? They are unlearned. They are uneducated men. How can they make a difference? Why would Jesus have called and used these apostles as disciples? So here in John's Gospel, instead of looking at the genders agreeing on the terms, he calls the Holy Spirit He. One, I think the purpose is to demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is an individual. Here presented as a masculine individual. Is a person, someone that is coming to do things with us, through us, and for us. And the Holy Spirit is coming, Jesus is saying, to be our God. And I think this is the chief influence the Holy Spirit has among us. In the earlier verses 8, 9, and 10, when the Holy Spirit is active in the world around us, He is here to expose things. He's here to, you know, to expose their sin, to expose their lack of righteousness because they crucified Jesus, who was the righteous one, and to expose the future judgment that's coming to the world because Satan has lost. He knows that he is not going to be victorious because of the resurrection of Christ and the promise that God has made for us. But among us, the Holy Spirit's chief function seems to be guiding, or if you will, leading the way. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive us by standing behind us with a whip. The Holy Spirit leads. He goes ahead and exerts influence on us and expands what Jesus taught. Well, he's not behind us pushing, though here, but so often the Holy Spirit is presented as the one who is our guide, who is our leader, who is our influence. He goes with us, and our challenge is to follow Him, to do the kinds of things that He is challenging us to do. He, the Spirit of truth, where the Holy Spirit is, there must be truth. The Holy Spirit is never divorced from Christ or the Word of God. And here's where we're getting at. So oftentimes for us, it's easy to make an extra leap, an extra step. People who do what I'm doing, who are standing up and saying that we've prayed and believe that God has given us the ability to communicate words and tell people what God is expecting from us, we have to be careful to make certain that the things we're saying are from Scripture. If I'm saying, well, this is just something I think, I'm trying to tell you that this is just a thought I have, this isn't what the Bible says. Or, you know, this is what I'm doing, I don't know how God will lead you, but this is how God is leading me. But the Holy Spirit here is very plainly described as the Spirit of truth. And this Holy Spirit, notice He doesn't speak on His own. He doesn't speak independently of the idea of God the Father or God the Son. If the Holy Spirit is leading you, He is leading you in such a way or guiding you or influencing you in such a way that it should be something that expands on something that has already been said. Whatever He hears, He will speak. And the Bible commentary reader that I enjoy reading is Prince William Henderson, says, what the Spirit hears from the Father, He, in and through the Word, whispers into the hearts of believers. Jesus told his followers that the Holy Spirit would help them to remember the things that he had said. Now, how do you know what to do? Well, the Bible will tell us. For the Bible verse, I think that's an important thing to consider. What has God said? What is Jesus giving guidance for? You know, there's a lot of things to be interested in, a lot of things to talk about. We talk about a lot of things, there's things in society we'll not be happy with. But the issue is, what has God said? And the Holy Spirit is the one who passes on what he hears. See, because the Spirit, or the Father, the Son, the Spirit are working together, that's really the essence of it. The Son spoke what he heard from the Father. And earlier in our Gospel in John, frequently Jesus has said, I have not come to do my will, I've come to do the will of my Father, I've come to tell you the things that he has said. And when the Bible says the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own, it means he is not manufacturing a message different from what the Father has said, what the Son has done, or what the Word of God is trying to communicate to us. He passes on what he has heard. He does not create independent teaching. He does not tell us things that are opposite from what the rest of the Word of God has communicated to us. So here's the word analogy of faith. That's what that means. All the Scripture taken together can be understood. And so often the question we have, what does the Holy Spirit say? What doesn't he say is so often the concern. And I want to talk to you about something that has been bothering me for a very long time. My children, this is going to take about 8-9 minutes. My children, so often, as I mentioned before, we stay up sometimes late and we watch and we just program. If we're up late at night, we'll turn to a particular cable station, and we will watch people say outlandish things that they will claim God has told them to say. Now, a concern of mine is when I stand here and when we speak about Scripture on behalf of what I think God wants us to do, what God is directing us to do through Scripture, I try to be very careful to not say things that I don't think just come from my mind. People teach me because I like it. You know, I follow the New York Yankees. Oh, no, I'm from Denver. I follow the Denver Broncos. Oh, no, well, it's a sport. So what? It is something important. It's not important at all. But what's important is what God says. We have our own peculiarities. But what I want to do is remind you and illustrate for you that it's very important to realize that God speaks with one voice. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit work together. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus said, I've asked the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, that he will guide you in the truth. And so whether it's me or someone else, you want to be careful to think that if the Holy Spirit is leading you, he is leading you in the areas that God has already spoken on. He is leading you in the words of Jesus. He is leading you in words of Scripture. He is leading you in a consistent truth. When it says the Holy Spirit does not speak on its own accord, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit will sometimes drop something new that doesn't agree with the rest of Scripture, but hey, it's a new thing, and the Holy Spirit's got something new to say, and compared to what the Bible says, let's look at something new. So I'm going to play for you. This is on YouTube. I'm going to give you the address later if you'd like to see it. I'm going to play for you an audio clip of different people who are very popular who have not thought carefully about what they are saying, because they will claim that the Holy Spirit has told them things. These things are not in Scripture. So will you join me and listen for a moment as we play this audio?
The word of God, there is prosperity. Not only is growing the seed, but being sure of the seed. We've got tons of prosperity.
The Spirit of operating.
When we get to that home and say, what we have, what's it going to be $5,000?
You know, some people get upset when you teach them, I don't agree with that. Hey, what is that? The Bible says, according to your faith, we are unique. You be sick, not me with. Why argue about it? You know, my husband stays sick. Shaking the seat on his throne with a sickening grin on his face. His lips twisted in his grotesque triumph, and all the infidel is dancing and giddy. And the worst things he's writing now, when he's defeated the plan of God, and the devil is sitting there saying, I told you, if you follow me, I will lead you to victory. We got him now, and they wrap their grimy hands in the chains of innocence around Jesus. And they confine him to one of the forests in the hidden section of the underworld. And then Satan and demons hold him on 3 days of
I can't turn this to the devil.
They thought they had been defeated in one that plan of Almighty God. And Jesus sat there, as it were, immobile, not saying a word, not doing anything, except serving our sinners.
Listen carefully.
I know that he was known that he was the first superman to ever live. First of all, the scriptures declare clearly that he has dominion over the power of the earth and the sea, which means he's the God. Most of all, of course, how can he have dominion over the earth and be able to do what he does?
Those verses don't teach that. We could go on and on with this, forgive me, I'm not going to. But the issue is, what has God said? I don't think God told us that when the astronauts went to the moon, they found the footprints of Adam. I don't think that's the case. You have to be careful. A, what the Bible says, B, what we tell other people, and C, just as I tell it to you, doesn't mean it's always right. The issue is the Holy Spirit has come, and He's come to guide us into all truth. When the Spirit of truth has come, 16:13, He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit guided the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit guided the writing of the epistles. And the Holy Spirit is active in the composition of the revelation. He guided them into the truth of His coming, into the truth of how we should be acting now, and He gave them things to come. The Holy Spirit is the one who has come to glorify Jesus. While the world is busy rejecting Christ, persecuting His followers, we have the Holy Spirit who, through the witness of believers, the Holy Spirit uses us to glorify Christ and will cause Christ's name, virtues, power, holiness, and love to be proclaimed. As he continues, the Spirit will take Christ's things and expose them. Remember, we looked at that earlier in 16:8, the Holy Spirit will come to convict, and so the best way to understand is to expose. The Holy Spirit is exposing the bad things that are out there that people need to see is true about their lives, that they need Christ. And the Holy Spirit is also functioning that way to expose truth. Christ, then, is the theme of the Holy Spirit. Forgive me, not Himself. The Holy Spirit has come to witness, to expand, to talk about the truths of Christ. He does not glorify Himself. Verse 14, He will glorify who? Me, Jesus says. For He will take of mine and declare them to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I say, He will take of mine and declare it to you. The Father has done things. The Son reveals and glorifies the Father, and the Spirit comes and causes the Son's words to be understood so people can believe. And the life can be created, new life in the Son. The big word for this is the economic relationship with the Trinity. How does the Trinity work? The Father seems to plan, the Son does, and the Holy Spirit then indwells. You see that in chapter 1 of the creation, you see that with salvation as well. The Holy Spirit does not glorify or draw attention to Himself. He is ever searching the Father. And the Word, Jesus, revealing them to us, to God's family, He does not seem to want to be the center of attention. For us, listen as the Holy Spirit communicates God's truth. I'm trying myself as I work on these things to be aware. What do you want me to do? Where should I be looking? Where should I be going? What should I be doing? What should I be saying? Study as the Holy Spirit enriches us with God's words. Remember, you look here at this passage. The Holy Spirit will hear things, and He will glorify Jesus, for He will take of what is mine, of His, Jesus says, and declare it to you. Read Scripture. What has Jesus said? What has Jesus done? What are His themes and speech? That is what the Holy Spirit is going to guide us with. And don't just study the Bible to argue. Study the Bible to see Jesus and glorify Him in our lives, and then to witness about what we have heard. Talk about what Christ has done for me. Christ has forgiven me. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has guided me. These are the kinds of things I should be doing. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. So resist unusual, outlandish, strange things that people say. Because the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word, about the Word, things that Jesus has said, and the things that the Father has shown Him. The Bible clearly says that He does not speak on His own. In other words, He doesn't invent new things. Study, read, understand. But when somebody comes up and says, I have a new revelation from the Holy Spirit, it's an extension of the Scripture, it goes above and beyond it, you say, wait a minute. You might think you have to know something, but the Bible tells me the Holy Spirit does not come up with new things on His own. He shows us things about God, expands on Christ's word and work, and shows us how Scripture can lead and guide us. You can be confident that you can seek God yourself, as 1 Peter says, as a believing priest. You can read, you can understand, you stand before God, you read what He has to say. God, when He has no grandchildren, when He has children. And it's because of the mercy of God, because He works with us, leads us, and guides us, we can ourselves understand the mercy that He gives us by showing us His Word, His work, His truth, and what we should do. So our words then can be rejoice, praise, sing, amen, thank you, God. Look what you have said. God, help us as we leave this place to evaluate our heart's relationship with You. God, help us to evaluate, are we listening to You through Your Word and Your Spirit? God, how can we know what to do? Help us to look at Your words that are written down for us in Scripture. Help us to look at the things Jesus said and did. Help us to see how You use other people to expand on these truths, to show us examples of how they live. Good examples, bad examples to learn from as well. Direct guidance for us through the epistles. What You're going to do in the future through the book of Revelation and other prophetic words. God, help us to focus on that blessed hope that one day we will be with You. Help us not to get hung up or tied in so many other things. Questionable, doubtful, uncertain, amazing. God, help us to stick to the truth of Your Word, the truth of the gospel. And as the man who stood in the back of the room in Luke 18, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help us to come to You through Your Son, the work of Your Holy Spirit. Forgive us. Help us change. Help us believe. Help us do the work You have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said,